Hey everybody, it's Phil Gonzalez. I'm workshopping some new ideas. I'm batting some ideas around. So when you're a little kid and you're watching TV, you're watching sitcoms on TV. When you're a little kid and you're me and you're watching sitcoms on TV, there's nothing funnier. The funniest joke in the world is middle-aged person cannot find their glasses and then the glasses are on their head. And everyone laughs. It's very funny. And it's kind of a sign of encroaching senility, but it's not like seriously a sign of encroaching senility. It's just like one of those things that happens when you get older. So I'm workshopping a new character and it's a guy who can't find his glasses. His glasses are on his head. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see the physical joke is that my glasses are currently on my head. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to workshop the character now. Here we go. Where are my glasses? That's the joke. So I'm going to keep working it out. I'm going to find some new way angles, maybe incorporate a partner or two to see like if we can get some back and forth going. Maybe I'm like, where are my glasses? And they're like, they're on your head. And I'd be like, they can't be on my head. I would know it. And then there's like a misunderstanding. That's the new character I'm working on. This week's book is like very short and it's a bore book. And we already really kind of talked about it last week. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're covering that book I talked about earlier. So last week we talked a lot about pacifier books. I talked about 12 different pacifier books. I hope you appreciated the effort. It was a lot of effort. I hope you appreciated the work I put into it. It was a lot of work. I couldn't really do a deep dive historically because I already did that several years ago with pacifiers. So I kind of had to go the other route and do a deep dive sociologically. Talk to some friends, talk to some coworkers about their approach to pacifiers and patiently waited for the book to arrive. And this week, the book did arrive. That's right. It is 2026. This is the only other book from 2026 I think I'm covering this year. So I sure did blow through the year pretty quickly. Baby Berenstain Bears, Pacifier Time. It's part of the Baby Berenstain Bears Boar book. On the cover, we have little buddy bear holding up a pacifier in his overalls with a little acorn on the front. That is his intellectual property, like, designed outfit for Baby Berenstain Bear, Buddy Bear. If you remember correctly, Buddy Bear, I believe, is the sibling of, or the, I think it's the new cousin. It's a cousin. It's related to the Bear family somehow. We don't care. We don't talk about the parents in this book, although we kind of do. So Baby Berenstain Bear's Pacifier Time. So last week we covered those books. We covered pacifier books that kind of didn't sit well with me in a lot of situations. They relied a lot on shame and blame, and the parents' own, like, it didn't have much to do with kids. It didn't have anything to do with, like, what's good for a kid. Mostly just, like, as a parent, you're getting kind of sick and tired of seeing your kid and with a pacifier in its mouth. What can we do to trick them out of the pacifier? We covered things like the Binky Fairy. I think another tactic was telling your kid it looks stupid. I think that was it. Pretty much humiliate your kid by comparing them to other kids, or tell them a magic fairy is going to come and take their pacifier away in the night. That was the two options. Was there any middle ground? There really wasn't much middle ground. And I think the problem that we faced is you couldn't give a good reason for it. If you're going to be intellectually honest with children, you can't say, well, it's bad for you. It's going to make your teeth deformed. It's going to make your tongue deformed. It's going to have like a physiological impact, because it won't, because we know for a fact now that pacifiers don't actually do anything. They're made of such soft material these days that they're not going to affect your teeth. They're not going to affect your upper palate. They're not going to do any of that. They're just going to be there in your mouth. And your parents don't like that. That's pretty much the whole reasoning. So we can't really throw that at kids. We can't put that on the kids. So we just sort of leave the reasoning for removing the pacifier vague and just sort of like sort of a, you feel it in your gut, kid. You know it's time to get rid of it. So I was wondering, after looking at all 12 of those books, would Mike Berenstain's approach to this be any different? It's probably been a while since he's like wrested a pacifier from anyone's mouth. I think. I don't know what he gets up to in public. I don't know if maybe they get like a little skittish when Mike is around at like the local Whole Foods because he's constantly just sneaking over and like grabbing pacifiers out of babies' mouths and running away with them cackling wildly like a maniac that we know he is. I don't know if that's the case, but I think it's probably been a while since Mike Berenstain has told a child, no, it is time to get rid of that thing in your mouth. I am curious as to how they go about doing that in Baby Berenstain Bears pacifier time. I'll tell you right now, I already like the cover a whole lot. It's very colorful. Buddy Bear looks amazing. He's got that patented Mike Berenstain Bear smirk on his face. He's holding up pacifier. He's pointing at it like, pacifier time. It's also not called the Baby Berenstain Bears Let's Get Rid of Pacifiers or the Baby Berenstain Bears Pacifier Time, more like Grow Up Baby Time. And they are specifically calling these Baby Berenstain Bears. So it's not like you can be like, you're no longer a baby, Baby Berenstain Bear. No, they are baby. So how are we going to address the ninny in the room? Let's find out. This book does not exist in digital format, so I had to scan it myself. So if you're watching along at home, apologies for the roughness of the image. There's no digital image, which is fine. I have my copy of the book right here. Here, I'll prove it to you. I just knocked a bunch of stuff off my desk. I'll prove it to you. It's the book. It's the book. Baby Berenstain Bear pacifier time. It's the book. Happy? Satisfied? Okay, so... Okay, so the basic setup in this book is that Buddy has a family. So I guess Buddy Bear is related to Lizzie Bruin. Buddy Bear is Lizzie Bruin's sibling in this timeline. We know that Lizzie Bruin has another brother, Barry Bruin. I don't know if Barry is a consideration in this timeline. Remember, Berenstain Bears exist across multiple universes. Each set of books kind of reboots or resets the reality. So Barry may not exist in this reality. But we see Mrs. Bruin and we see Mr. Bruin and we see Lizzie Bruin and we see Buddy Bruin, and Buddy is in a stroller with his pacifier in his mouth, or as they refer to it in this book, his binky. Says he brings his binky everywhere. His favorite pacifier, his binky, goes everywhere with him. Again, so far, no judgment. So far, just lovely illustrations of a happy family of bears pushing their bear child along his merry bear way. So then we see, like, well, where does this binky, where is it important that Buddy brings the brink? Buddy, where is it vital that Buddy bings the brinky? Buddy bings the brinky. Buddy uses his binky when he plays, it says. And so we see Buddy using the binky. He's not using the binky. I mean, he is using the binky to its, he's putting the binky to use in the way it is intended to be put, which is just sitting in his mouth. He's building a sandcastle, says Buddy uses his binky when he plays. They're making a huge sandcastle, by the way, in this little play area, especially considering they're not by a beach. It's just dry playground dirt. Maybe it rained and the playground sand got wet and they're able to build much higher than you would expect them to be able to build. But they're building a giant sandcastle in this little sandbox. And we see Lizzie in the background with another bear playing football. So that's kind of cool. He uses it when he naps. And we see Binky bivouacked in what is presumably inside a building, presumably at some sort of a daycare. He's on a little like low to the ground cot. He's all curled up, does not have a blanket. One of the cubs has a blanket. He does not, but he's curled up. He's kind of caressing, like holding his pillow like I do when I sleep. I do this when I sleep. I sleep kind of like this picture of Buddy. I kind of curl up. I stick my hand under my head. I put one under the pillow. I kind of grip the pillow in like a weird way. It's hard for me to describe. Now, if you've ever wondered what it's like to sleep in the same bed with me, that's not what it's like, because you would not know, because I would be gripping the pillow, not you. I do throw my arm around my beautiful bed partner. This is more information. Why am I even telling you this? Why would I even go into this? This is a book about Berenstain Bears, not the way I sleep. Any case, they take Buddy to the doctor, and Dr. Bearson is like, please get that binky out of his mouth. It's wrecking his skull. I'm kidding. She doesn't say that at all. Dr. Bear says that he's growing up. And the parents are like, well, what about this binky? He's constantly sucking on the binky. What's up with the binky? And she's like, eh. It just doesn't say much. It just shows that Buddy is getting taller. That's the only purpose of this illustration. Buddy's getting taller. You see him like, it's weird. So if you get your height taken at the doctor, usually it's against a wall. Like they put you against a wall or like on a little stand against the wall. This height measuring thing is smack in the middle of the doctor's office. It's like right. It's like 6 feet from the wall in all directions. It's right in the middle of everything. Presumably this is the height measuring room. We measure your height and we also measure your eyesight on this 4 foot wide eye chart on the wall. Presumably it's this enormous eye chart. I don't understand. It's probably this an inside joke. I'm sure it's a joke, but we see Dr. Bear. She's just talking with the parents and like, she's like, there's nothing. It doesn't say she said that they had to get rid of this Binky. It's just no. So the parents are like, we think he's getting too old for the Binky. And it says Buddy isn't so sure. ... So Buddy does not feel at this point as if he needs to abandon the Binky, as if he needs to. I couldn't think of a B word about getting rid of something. He does not bemoan the Binky, the bothersome Binky. I don't know. I can't do alliteration right now. I'm very tired. So then doubt starts. So I guess they've planted that egg, they planted a seed. They planted a seed in Buddy, though, just from him overhearing them, that maybe he's outgrowing the need for the Binky. Because it says that he notices that when he's playing with his friends, they don't use pacifiers. We see him at daycare. And this is kind of your typical, this is what you see, like, there's things that he cannot do because he has a pacifier in his mouth. He cannot sing like one of the cubs. That's it. They show one of the cubs is singing. The rest of one of them is staring at a boat. One of them is staring at a doll. But he also notices that Honey doesn't use a pacifier. So we see Honey Bear, who is noticeably taller. So Honey is, because we know she's like five at this point. Honey knows to be taller. She's an older bear. He looks up to her. And I do want to say, peer pressure, subtle peer pressure, like societal peer pressure, the peer pressure that comes simply from observation, not from your peers pressuring you to actually do something, is a great tool. That's one of the reasons that daycares are actually kind of neat places for kids, because as long as there's a good mix of ages, younger cubs or children can see older children demonstrating behaviors, demonstrating, you know, ways to do things, demonstrating, you know, their own adaptability. I think I might mention this in the going to potty book. Kids will watch and see that other kids do not use diapers, and then the pressure is kind of on, not in an embarrassed way, not in a you have to do this within X amount of time way, but in just because they want to be like the older kids. It's a joyous thing. They want to be like the older kids. They respect the older kids. They want to emulate the older kids. And I think that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing that Buddy is just like, you know what? I noticed that. So we've seen that Buddy in his own brain is like questioning his need for this pacifier. He's still using the pacifier, but he's noticing that none of his other friends do. No one's putting any pressure on him again. It's just something he's noticed. So that night, his mom is like rocking him and she wraps him in a blanket and his father gives him a new teddy to cuddle. So it says at the beginning, Buddy's parents want him to give up the Binky. They want to help him give up the Binky. Now, no one has said anything to him. I want to point this out. No one has said anything to Buddy about giving it up. They're sort of like, they're not, sometimes the best way to get kids to do something is simply to act as if it is going to happen, and then they will do it because there's no like pressure. There's none of this, like, there's nothing to fight against because you're just casually doing things. My older child, this is not quite the same thing, but my older child, when going to the dentist, she would panic. She hated going to the dentist, but we did go to one dentist. We had one option once when our insurance covered this one dentist. He was this incredibly stern, taciturn German man, like thick German accent, perfect dental experience for a child. And it was because instead of being like, here's the thing. We're going to put this in your mouth and it's going to feel a little weird, or like, this isn't so bad. You can put it open wide. There was none of that. It was this German guy and he was just all like, open your mouth. Like, move your jaw wider. let me look. And he wasn't mean about it, but he was just sort of like, he just did it. And my older kid just had no problem at the dentist because there was no buildup of expectation. There was no time to get like nervous. There was no like anything. It was just this like, here's what you do. You don't have any options in this. Your dad is here, so you're safe. Just open your mouth and let me brush your teeth. And it worked. And I'm not saying that's what they should do with Buddy, but I am saying that like sometimes if you know your kids, certain kids just respond better without a whole lot of like anticipation. You just start doing it. And, you know, and if Buddy catches on and doesn't want to go along, then you back off a little bit. But, so what they've done is they've given him a nice warm blanket, which I'm like, did he not have a blanket before this? Was this the first time his mom's like, you're old enough now that you don't have to be cold at night. And so his father gives him a new teddy to cuddle, which is interesting. So this brings up my point that I've made in previous episodes, which is the existence of the teddy bear in the bear world implies the existence of a Teddy Roosevelt in the bear world, which implies the historical fact that their president used to hunt bears or something. Bears in this case, because the reason we have the teddy bear is because Teddy Roosevelt refused, the legend was that he refused to kill a baby bear and shoot a cub or whatever. And so then they started marketing these stuffed bears as teddy bears to sort of celebrate the fact that the president wouldn't murder somebody or a child, and hooray. And that's not always the case with presidents. So, but I mean, it's a bear, but in this case, would be what it is. Like, remember that time that our president didn't murder a child? Well, we've commemorated it with a stuffy. That's what we're seeing here. It should be his dad gave him a soft new teddy man, teddy human, because I can't imagine what else you would hunt, or some other animal, a little teddy turkey, or just a turkey, or, well, I don't know why it'd be a turkey, or just a stuffed bear, a doll, new teddy. You can't call it a teddy. We discussed this when the cub named Teddy showed up. That's what it was. There was the cub in one of the books. There was the cub who showed up and the kids were making fun of the fact behind his back that his name was Teddy. They're like, can you believe his name is actually Teddy Bear? And that just threw me because I'm like, wait a minute. That implies a whole line of historical happenings that I'm not sure you intended for me to think about this hard, Mike. So his parents read him a bedtime story. It looks like the three bears, because I see a cottage on the back of the book, and I see three bears on the cover. Presumably I seen it now. In the second picture, it does say three bears. Doesn't mean it's Goldilocks and the three bears. Why would you tell the story of Goldilocks at this point? It would just be three bears, happy bears, that make appropriately temperatured porridge, that know how to build good chairs, and that, they like their own beds. I think that's the way. Nothing bad happens with beds. She just doesn't like the bed. Like she breaks the chair. He hugs his new teddy. That night, instead of he's sleepy. They read him a book. They read him a bedtime story. He snuggles under the blanket. He grabs his new teddy and you see his mom just kind of like not give him the pacifier. She sets it on the table, like the bedside table. Keep that in mind. It's important. They wait until he gets like nice and tuckered out. They set the pacifier on the bedside table. He's got his new toy, so he's distracted. Later when he's fast asleep, they take the binky away. They steal the binky. They are their own binky fairies. And he wakes up the next morning and he sees that the binky's not there. Now, this could go south on the parents. He could panic. He could be like, where is it? But he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't mind. He finds that he doesn't mind. Now, I am sure that if he had made a fuss, they'd try it again. You try it again. You try it again. I think it's you have to put in 10,000 hours before you're good at something. So they would have to try it. Well, it's like a 5-minute procedure. 10,000. How many times does 5 go into 60? 12 times? 120,000 times. You do this 120,000 times, you've nailed it. And that's it. They're proud of him. He doesn't need his binky that day. And they're proud. They give him a big hug. And Lizzie Bruin looks on, satisfied and smug. She's very, very proud of her little brother, presumably. Her brother. That was the Berenstain... So Mike made a big deal with these books that it's so impossible to remember to say the Berenstain Baby Bears. Why did they just call them the Baby Berenstain Bears from the jump? I can never remember to call them the Baby Berenstain Bears. They will always be the Berenstain Baby Bears to me. Sorry, Mike. You did that. Like, for some reason, you saying that put in my head that they're the Berenstain Baby Bears. Or I can't call whichever one I'm trying to call the, when I try to call them that. Thoughts on the book. Thoughts on the book. I like this one. I like this one a lot. I'm a fan of Mike's approach, which is non-confrontational, non-expectational. It's just time to move on, kid. And we're not going to force you, but we are going to set you up for success. We're setting you up for success by not making it entirely on you, by not leaving the binky there for you to wake up and immediately pop it in your mouth out of habit. Every step along the way, you're having to make a choice. And we're not forcing your hand. We're letting you make that choice. I like this book. I like this book. I like the Baby Berenstain Bears books. I like Mike's art style. I like the length of the books. These are good books. These are good books. They're not available digitally. You got to buy hardback copies, which is the whole point of board books. It just makes them difficult to photograph, Mike. They don't hang open on their own. Just so you know, you should sell them as like bound in ring, like bound, like with spiral ring binding so that I can lay it flat. That's it. This is 2026 is Baby Berenstain Bears Pass for Time. I wish I had more to discuss, but I don't. I like focusing on this family. I like not having to stare at Mama and Papa after 10 and a half years, getting away from the core family and getting over to the Bruins. Let's get a little more Bruin adventures. The Berenstain Bruins. Mike, you could do an entire Berenstain Bruins series. Just do the Berenstain Bruins. Like, it's be like, all right, we're starting over again. We're starting everything over again. What about the first time the Bruins went to the dentist? What about the first time the Bruins went to the doctor? What about the first time the Bruins went to school? What about the first time the Bruins got the gimmies? What about the first time the Bruins collected Beanie Babies? What about the first time the Bruins had a nightmare, huh? Start the series over. Things could go in a different direction. They could go south every time. I went to the doctor and she tried to get me to take a shot. No, I screamed my head off. I went to the dentist and it hurt like heck and I never wanted to go again. Berenstain Bruins. I went to my first day of school. I was terrified. Had a nightmare, and it came true. It was real. It was real. My clothes did fly off. I did fall down holes. I was attacked by space grizzlies. It was real. It was true. It all happened. Berenstain Bruins, Mike. Think about it. Before we go, I just want to say that it is still happening here in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, in Minnesota. Things have not really died down that much. They've simply changed. We have families at the high school where my child goes to school who are in desperate need of rental assistance or desperate need of food assistance and supplies assistance. I am provided a link at the bottom here so you can give directly to the school. If you go there and you're like, it looks like they have plenty of money, just remember that rent is coming due. People are still afraid to leave their homes. So if you can give to the rental assistance, we'd really appreciate it. We'd really appreciate it. We'd really appreciate it. And if you want to give to something else, you can go to standwithminnesota.com and go and look there. I know that things are happening all over the country now. So stay strong, my friends, my neighbors. We're all neighbors. We're all in everything together. And I'll see you next time, deep in Bear Country.